Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 172 to close at 25,414. S&P 500 up 25 at 2,864. NASDAQ Composite up 91 at 7,932. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps up 5 at 1,685. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 1 basis point at 2.94%. Oil up 16 cents at $69.46 per barrel. Gold up $7.30 at $12.32.40 per ounce. Tech stocks lifted the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. Microsoft rose 2.9%, hit a record. Apple up about 0.5%, just shy of its all-time high. Alphabet continued to move higher again after a strong earnings report Monday after the closing bell. The S&P tech sector up about 1%. Technology stocks, mostly responsible for the broader market erasing nearly all of its losses from the early 2018 weakness that dragged U.S. stocks into a correction. Now, a decline of at least 10% from a recent top is typically how market technicians define an asset's bearish corrective phase. A climb from its closing low of at least 10% is generally viewed as an emergence from out of correction. Well, the S&P 500 is now just a smidge above 10% higher than the February 8th closing low of 2851. So, we're out of correction territory. After 115 sessions in a correction, the longest streak since 1984. Tech has been the leader, and tech is relatively insulated from the trade war, and that is at least part of the reason why you see the sector do so well this year. For most of the session, the Dow was in the red until the final half hour or so of trading. Trump told reporters at the White House that his administration had agreed with the European Union to enter talks to eliminate most non-auto tariffs, including recent retaliatory measures. At a joint press conference in the White House Rose Garden with European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker, Trump said they had agreed to work together toward achieving zero tariffs. Juncker said they also agreed to reassess existing tariffs on steel and aluminum. Well, until a deal gets done, there are still fears of increased cost and price that will linger. And so far, this deal is short on details. Tariffs have been mentioned in some form by more than 40% of the 146 S&P 500 companies that have already reported their second quarter earnings this season. Today, we got some results from the automakers. Although GM gets most of its steel for American-made vehicles from the U.S., global price increases sparked by Trump's tariffs have been inescapable. Unlike GM, Fiat Chrysler has contracts in place to acquire steel at a fixed price through the rest of 2018, but the relief is probably limited. Commodity costs are likely to rise in 2019, so who will absorb the increase? The options are the automakers, their suppliers, consumers, or a mix of the three. The estimated impact on vehicle prices of steel and aluminum tariffs have ranged from about $200 to $300. Now, that's an amount that probably won't hurt the industry too much. But automakers continue to profit as consumers abandon passenger cars in favor of the more profitable SUVs, pickups, and crossovers. The average transaction prices for a new vehicle in June, $35,511. That's up 2.1% from a year earlier. But potential price increases from those threatened vehicle tariffs would likely be more damaging, about $5,000 per vehicle. The rising cost of commodities, largely due to Trump's 25% tariff on imported steel, took a bite out of General Motors during the second quarter. Although GM turned a $2.4 billion profit for the quarter, the company also reported $300 million in increased commodity cost. GM today down 4.6%. Ford reported a profit of $1 billion during the second quarter. That's down nearly 50% from the same period a year ago. Sluggish sales in China, the effects of the Trump administration tariffs, and the costly disruption this spring of F-150 pickup production due to a fire at a supplier's plant. Ford said the tariffs resulted in $145 million in higher cost and could rise to as much as $600 million for the full year. Ford down about a half a percentage point today. Fiat Chrysler also cut its outlook for the year. Fiat reported that second quarter adjusted earnings before interest and tax fell 11%. Fiat also announced the death of Sergio Marchionne, who had stepped down as CEO over the weekend due to complications from surgery. Fiat shares today down 12%. The big earnings news today came after the closing bell. Facebook reported revenue hit $13.2 billion for the quarter. That's up 42% from the same period a year prior, but the figure fell short of Wall Street estimates, and Facebook said they expect the revenue slowdown to continue. The pressure looks like it's finally getting to Facebook. The stock dropped as much as 24% in after-hours trade. Facebook's second quarter earnings results offer the clearest glimpse yet into how the Cambridge Analytical debacle impacted the business. News that the data firm accessed information from as many as 87 million Facebook users without their permission broke in the final weeks of the first quarter. CEO Mark Zuckerberg has said on past earnings call that the company would take a hit as it pours money into content moderation in a massive hiring effort to control the flow of bad posts, among other investments, and shifting the news feed to interactions with friends and family versus posts from brands and organizations. And in recent weeks, Facebook has faced increased scrutiny over its failure to eliminate misinformation and harmful content on its platform. Facebook added 22 million daily active users globally during the quarter. Even with the onslaught of bad press, user outrage, and regulatory scrutiny. However, the number of daily users in the U.S. and Canada remained flat compared to the previous quarter. In Europe, Facebook actually lost daily active users, even with the rollout of sweeping new data protection regulations there. Facebook had 279 million daily users in the region in the second quarter, a drop from 282 million in the prior quarter. Boeing is the biggest component in the Dow, today down 0.6%, despite solid earnings and a boost to its revenue guidance. But the jet maker's earnings forecast wasn't as strong as investors were hoping. Boeing also cut its profit margin outlook for its defense unit. Boeing's stock is up more than 20% this year, so expectations were sky high. Boeing rival Northrop Grumman down 6.5% today, despite earnings that topped estimates. Better-than-expected profit from Coca-Cola, a bright spot. Coke's stock rose nearly 2%, thanks to solid sales of iconic beverages, particularly the recently revamped Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Coke said it would take the unusual step of raising prices on its sodas in the middle of the year, trying to offset higher cost of aluminum as tariffs on the metal increase the cost of soda cans. Advanced Micro Devices reported second quarter net income of $116 million or 11 cents per share. That compares with a loss of $42 million or 4 cents per share in the year-ago period. Adjusted earnings, 14 cents per share, slightly better than estimates. Revenue in line with estimates. AMD shares up 6.3% in after-hours trade. Qualcomm beat quarterly earnings expectations and confirmed that it plans to end a long-planned acquisition of NXP Semiconductors. They've given up. Instead, they'll buy back up to $30 billion in their own stock. NXP shares gained more than 5% in immediate after-hours trade, but then drifted lower. Qualcomm shares jumped 5.6%. PayPal reported second-quarter earnings that topped Wall Street estimates, but its third-quarter revenue outlook fell short, shares of PayPal dropping 4% in after-hours trade. Shares of Mattel dropped more than 8%. The company disclosed that it would be cutting 2,200 jobs. Mattel said this reduction represents 22% of its global non-manufacturing workforce. Toy company had announced a cost savings program in October with the goal of eliminating $650 million in cost over 2 years, one-third of which it expects to achieve this year. Sales of new single-family homes fell to an 8-month low in June, and data for the prior month was revised sharply lower. Commerce Department said new home sales decreased 5.3% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 631,000 units last month. It's the lowest since October 2017. The moderation in housing largely driven by supply constraints, but there are concerns that persistent weakness could eventually spill over to the broader economy. Housing has been plagued by rising building materials cost and shortages of land and labor, which have put a squeeze on the supply of homes available for sale and kept prices elevated. The housing market has underperformed the economy this year. Economists are forecasting no contribution from housing to gross domestic product in the second quarter. Now, residential investment actually subtracted from GDP growth in the first quarter. We'll find out more on Friday. That's when the government will publish its snapshot of second quarter GDP. Today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 172 to finish at 25,414. The S&P 500 index up 25 to close at 2,864. NASDAQ Composite up 91 at 7,932, closing at a record high. And the Russell 2000 up 5 at 1685. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio. And be sure to visit our daily blog, eatthebankers.com, text, audio, free podcast, and much more at eatthebankers.com.